You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. KELW has training programs in California's state prisons, including San Quentin, where over 1,400 people have tested positive for COVID-19. This next piece involves one of the trainees. Chanton Bun is a producer for the KELW podcast Uncuffed. Less than a week ago, he was incarcerated at San Quentin State Prison. He'd been granted parole a few months ago and was waiting to get out, but his situation was complicated. Bun is immunocompromised, and he started to show COVID symptoms just days before his planned parole date. Another complication, Bun is a Cambodian refugee, but he lost his status when he committed a crime in the U.S. as a teenager more than 20 years ago. When he paroled, Bun expected to be picked up by Immigration and Customs Enforcement and taken to a detention center to await deportation to a country he left as a child. But when he walked out of the San Quentin gates last Wednesday, ICE was not there to pick him up. KELW's Nina Gensler-Debs, who worked with Bun in our training program, spoke with him about what San Quentin was like during the pandemic and how he unexpectedly found himself a free man.
How much information did CDCR give you about COVID? Like what it is, how it's transmitted? Like how did you know what you knew about COVID-19?
They had these videos encouraging us to, you know, stay socially distant and all that. And everybody's like, why do they keep on saying that when they know we can't social distance ourselves? Every cell in San Quentin is about 5 by 10. I mean, I'm a small guy and I don't have room in there to even like turn around. So April comes, we get a bottle of hand sanitizer and they gave us 2 masks. That they made, and they gave us a bar of soap once a week. They didn't give nothing extra to clean up or nothing.
How did you find out that there was starting to be more cases at San Quentin? Were you hearing from other incarcerated guys? Were you hearing this from the staff? Like, how were you finding out the information?
They do not give us no information in there. We watch the news.
So you were watching outside news and learning about what was happening at San Quentin that way.
Yes.
And how did that feel?
It's I already knew what was going to happen. I wrote people. I say, hey, they're going to kill us. We're going to have an outbreak. I already knew how it's going to play out. So I was trying to prepare myself not to catch it. But there's no way that you're not going to catch it in there. Because you got to sleep and the CO walk by and count you three times a night. And he's only breathing about a foot away from you when he shines his flashlight in there to look in. Like I would sleep and put my towel up so I could have at least a little cushion between me and the bars. They threatened to write me up saying, hey, you can't cover up like that. And I tried to explain to him, I said, it's coronavirus. I'm sleeping. I don't know who's walking by, breathing here, you know. And then you have some guys that just scare out their mind. They put notes on front of their bar letting people know, like, I'm immune compromised. Please stay away from me. Hold up. Let me catch my breath.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bun. That sounds like a pretty bad cough.
Oh, I had a cramp by coughing.
Oh, so you were saying you were having symptoms inside. Is this the kind of stuff that was happening to you while you were at San Quentin?
Yeah. This even.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what kind of symptoms you were having?
Well, at first I had chills and I was like, oh my God. I was having headaches, and I've just laid there. I slept maybe half the day and woke up worried. I didn't eat, and it was just a lot of stress and worries.
Why did you refuse to get tested at San Quentin?
I didn't trust them at all. I was worried that they'll use the information for something else, or they'll dupe us, and I wasn't gonna cooperate in their trial and errors. And a lot of inmates like me don't trust them. Like, no, I don't trust them at all.
So you had a day where you were feeling sick and you were worried. And then at what point did you know that you were actually going to get out?
ICE came and saw me. And they told me, they said, hey, we schedule you, not CDCR, ICE schedule to pick me up on the 1st.
So ICE told you they were going to come and pick you up when CDCR released you because you had lost your green card privileges because of your crime?
Yeah, exactly. Right when ICE came and talked to me, I knew I had coronavirus. I knew I was positive because I was having symptoms. And now I'm stressed out because I have the symptom now. Now I got to go to ICE with this symptom. And I don't even know if I could survive it if I'm in ICE because of the poor treatment they have over there. So if I would have went to ICE, I believe there was a strong chance of me even dying in there because of coronavirus.
At what point did you know that you were actually going to get out?
Usually they wake people up on the day that you're supposed to be released, around 3 o'clock. So I was ready.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, nothing. 6 o'clock come, nothing. 6:30, nothing. 7, nothing. And I was like, oh, man, they left me here. 8:30, they came and got me. I clear up my stuff, and I bring whatever I'm going to bring with me. And then I run around the building saying goodbye to my friends. But most of them were bedridden. A lot of them just waved back, and some of them was just sleeping because they were sick. They were all sick. But I still came around and said goodbye to every one of them. And it was bittersweet. I mean, I was happy for myself, but it was hard for me to see my friends that are sick, and I know they're sick, and if they weren't sick, they would jump for so much joy. The R&R officer came and said, okay, let's go. I'm your escort. And he comes and escort me all the way around to R&R, and they put me in a cage.
And what's R&R, for those who don't know?
Receiving and release.
Mm-hmm.
So they come get me, and he said, let's roll. Off to the bus station. And I was like, are you serious? Still not believing him. So he drives off. We go to the 1st gate. I say my name and everything. They all say parole. And when he drives out the gate, I was like, what's going on? Where is ICE? And I'm still waiting for ICE to pull up on me. And he just keeps on driving and driving until we got to the San Rafael bus station. Opens up the door. And he gives me my gate money and say, hey, go to that lady right there. She'll give you a bus ticket. And they take off. I was like, what? So I went to the lady. I say, ma'am, I need a ticket. She goes, you from San Quentin? I was like, yes. She gave me a ticket. And I didn't know what it's for. I know it's for a bus, but I was expecting a Greyhound. You know, I've been in prison 23 years. These buses are new. I don't know what it is. And oh my God, that bus ride almost killed me. I was sick and I had motion sickness. It was bad. And when I got off the bus, I took a nap.
You took a nap?
Yes. I put my bags down on the bench and took a nap for like 10-15 minutes. Got up. And then there was some construction work, and I asked to use his phone, and he called Anoop for me.
And who's Anoop?
Anoop is my attorney. So when
and what was that like when you guys all saw each other?
I can't even describe the feeling. It was, they were ecstatic. I was happy. They were. Oh my! I didn't know how to feel. It was just overwhelming. And then Anoop took me and got my COVID test right away.
And then that's when you found out that you were for sure positive.
Yeah, I already told him. I was like, yeah, it's going to come out positive. So,
do you know at this point why ICE didn't come pick you up?
We don't know at all.
No idea.
No idea. Yeah, they just didn't come.
What was it like to sleep in that bed last night when you weren't head to toe in a 6-foot by 10-foot cell?
Oh my God, I felt so safe, but it was so quiet. It was way too quiet. So I think my ears started ringing because it's so quiet.
What are you thinking about and feeling about the people who are still there?
Man, I'm so saddened, and I pray for them, and I'm sending all my energy to them to survive this.
That was Uncuffed producer Chanton Bunn speaking with KELW's Nina Gensler-Debs. Now he's recovering at an undisclosed location in the Bay Area.